The story of Jesus, as it's told by Matthew's Gospel, or Matthew in his Gospel, begins with words from heaven spoken to Mary as she is pregnant. And it finishes with a word that Jesus about whom the angel spoke to Mary, saying something to disciples which they never forgot. Now, the last words of Jesus were to those disciples, I think, something important because of that very fact. But also, not only because they were the last words of somebody whom they really loved, but also they defined the kind of activities that ought to characterise those disciples from thenceforth. And the words that they listened to from the mouth of Jesus were these: go and disciple all nations, and do this by baptizing and teaching them. And inasmuch as you do that, I am with you always. Now that's probably just as good a translation of Matthew 28 as you will get, and many scholars who've looked at the things that Jesus said believe that in fact Jesus was saying the important thing for those disciples to do was to go into a world and disciple the nations. And if you ask how the nations were to be discipled, that is, how they were to become disciples of Jesus, it was, in the words of Jesus, a program of baptism and of teaching. Now, how does that relate to what we will see tonight? Well, a lot has changed in 2,000 years. In the days when Jesus said that, to be baptized was an awfully risky thing. In fact, it was so dangerous that, and the Christian communities felt so exposed to the outside world in the first century, that they made very sure of people before they allowed them to know where they were meeting. You couldn't in the first century go off to any church that you liked unless somebody had a file on you, unless you were scrutinised, so that the people, the community who was often living in hiding, were sure that you were not a spy. You weren't frisked when you came in today, were you? Nobody looked you up and down and wondered whether you were part of some secret police. We don't have to do that in a country like this, but they did in the first century, and at times it does us well to think about that. But also in the first century it meant that nobody was baptised unless they really meant business with God. It was, at that point of time, in the first century, a very sacred moment when somebody said, I believe in God. I don't believe in society as I see it round about me. I no longer believe in my Jewish heritage if they were Jews, or in all the things that I've learnt as a Gentile, in all the pagan religion in which those people in the Roman world were brought up in the first century. They were saying, I don't believe that anymore. I have listened to the words of the Nazarene. I've listened to the words of Jesus. And he is right. And they are wrong. And I'm prepared to say that I believe it. In fact, I'm prepared to put my life on the line and show that I'm renouncing everything else by being baptized. Baptism wasn't that decision that took a person into the kingdom of God. That happened before a person ever walked into water. Before a person ever said that they wanted to be baptized, they had to be committed to a new way of life. They had to be saying no to everything else they thought was important and saying that they accept different standards altogether. Now, things have changed a lot. For a person to be baptised in the 20th century, we don't really renounce society. Rolston's going to go back into wherever she goes. You go back into school, you go back into your work. You do the same kind of things in many ways. But nonetheless, the person who's come into contact with Jesus ought really to be very different. There isn't the same break, but nonetheless there is a break. And as I was thinking about what this means, for Roslyn and for us, I thought there are two things that I want to say. First of all, I believe for the person who wants to be baptised, this is the next step. And in essence, at some point of time, we come in contact with this command of Jesus, which says that we must be baptised. It doesn't make us a better Christian.
accept. But it is something that God, we do it, we will never grow. Parents who ask children to do and will not ask them to do anything else until they've done that one thing. You know, you've got to usually try and outlast them. I've known of children who sat for 3 hours beside a meal. Awful when they do it, but they finally have to eat it. And as far as the parents are concerned, there is no, going to be no more commands given to that child, nothing that the child can do until that's done. Now, in a sense, in the Christian life, that's exactly what happens, I believe, with baptism and a whole lot of things for us. God says something to us. And until we do that, we are never going to grow. And Rosalind, as you are baptised, just think of it that way. This is just a step. It's something that you'll go through that will mean a lot to you, a lot more to you than to anybody else. But it's just the beginning of a step which lies beyond it, and more to come. But secondly, I want to say something to the church here at large. When you as a church here baptised Rosalind, and you agree to have her baptised here, remember that not only has she got responsibilities, and that is to live a different kind of life, but you've also got the responsibility of looking after her. For in a sense she becomes, in a special way, part of your family. You've accepted her. And she's a baby. She's young. She has to grow. And she is only going to do that in as much as you give her the right kind of guidance. And each time you baptise somebody, you ought to say to yourself, am I really the right kind of parent? Anyone who's got children, know at some point of time you stop and say, am I really doing the right thing by my children? Now, I've had to do this. I ask myself constantly, as I think of the things that I do, and as I look at them, sometimes as they grow up and don't do the right things, I say, is it my fault? And you as a church need to do that. Because if you see young people going astray, it isn't only their fault. It's the fault of those who are trying to train them. And so as you participate in this service tonight, remember those two things. For Rosalind, it's a step. One of many that she's going to have to take. But one that she must take before she can grow any further. But for you, it's also the acknowledgement that Rosalind in a special way is part of your family, and that your responsibility is to make her grow. And if she doesn't, don't only blame her, blame yourselves.